Hi, it is January 25th, yes, 2016. This is October 2015 Life Coach Training. This is Coach to Coach 2 with, it's the fourth of four classes of the Thought Work. And my name is Chris Marie Campbell, Master Certified Martha Beck Coach. And today, what we have on the agenda is hopefully you listened to the ACT demo. We're going to go through ACT tools and also do a duet. So ACT is acceptance commitment therapy, and it's very in line with all the things you're learning. So we'll walk through that. I'll give you some examples, and then we'll do another coaching duet using the work. And hopefully we can have a little bit more time, because I know when we were with Tanya and Rachel, it was a little bit rushed, and you could tell that didn't work so well. So I was hoping, I hope we did not scare Rachel away, I was hoping we could get an update, but Rachel's not on the call. Tanya, let me just check with you. Did you guys actually do another session, a follow-up session in between now and then?
We did.
I'm actually here, too. This is Rachel.
Oh, yay, Rachel. I don't see your name, but are you 802?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to add your name in our little system, so people see you. Oops, there you go.
I'm using my cell phone. Maybe that's why.
Okay. So just if you would, we'd love just to, because it was a cliffhanger, Tanya, how it was doing the work, and Rachel, how it was being the client. If we could get an update, that would be great, because we were all with you last week.
I know from my perspective, this is Rachel. She did a lot of mind-body things, which was really nice to kind of take me out of my head because I was stuck in my head, which was really helpful. Another thing that she did that I liked was she had me write down a bunch of my limiting thoughts that were kind of all spinning around because I had a lot of them related to this one issue. And then on a piece of paper, and then on the other side, excuse me, and put it in my purse, and it was it was really, I don't know, I liked writing them down. There was something about putting them on paper, having them in my head that I really liked.
Excellent. That is that's actually very true. It's another way of creating more space between you and your thoughts is writing them down,
mm-hmm.
kind of giving them voice or venting, and then stepping back and saying, oh, those are my thoughts, and even carrying them around. So did you reference them in your purse every once in a while?
Yeah, it's funny because I just went to check and see if it was still there, and it must have been used for a grocery list because it's not there.
you have released them, Rachel. It's symbolic.
someone's going to pick it up at the grocery store and say, "What the heck is this?"
Tanya, do you want to say anything about how it was for you?
I thought it was really good. I felt very stumped at the end of our call. And so having the videos and moving to ACT kind of opened up a couple of different avenues for me, which was really great, because I felt like if we've done the work and we weren't getting where we needed to go, and we needed some other ideas on how to diffuse from a thought. So we kind of played more with ACT than with pure work. And I liked it.
That sounds
I liked,
like some mind-body in there too, Tanya.
Yeah, we did. We did do... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. So that's a great, you know, that's why you have this smorgasbord. I don't know if that's the right phrasing, but you have this, you know, these series of tools that you're using, and really figuring out, listening to your marmoset response, like what do I think would be most supportive? And if the person isn't very connected to their body, sometimes the work helps, but often they miss that deeper shifting meditative impact. So I love that you tried some body stuff and then some easier ways at creating some space, which ACT does fit in really well with the work. So that's neat. Yay! Snaps for Tanya and Rachel. That's a Legally Blonde reference, so...
I know that one. That's hilarious.
One of my main movies.
Little Elle Woods.
Exactly.
Good.
job. Okay. Any, so I'm just going to open it up to other comments, questions, struggles that you're having with the work, with turnarounds specifically, because that's what we really focused on last week, or even mind-body stuff that's coming up. Any way, because this is a place where you can actually chat, so we'd love to, I'd love to hear more if you're struggling or even successes. Okay, you guys are kind of quiet today. It doesn't give me much time to eat my almond butter and apple.
That's true.
Okay. Well, what we're going to talk about then, I'll do, if you've seen the, you know, listen to the, watch the videos or listen to the demos, Amy's demo on ACT, this will be to review. But if you have questions that, you know, that doesn't make sense, please interrupt, let me know. Let me take my almond butter sticking to the top of my mouth. Hold on. Have a little water. Okay. So ATC is really this body of work, and it was it's really kind of Russ Harris is kind of the MD, kind of grandfather of this stuff. But it really, it speculates that there's two core psychological processes that create our suffering, most of our suffering. And that is, one is cognitive fusion. That sounds very similar to believing our thoughts, which is all about what the work is about, loosening. And the other one is experiential avoidance, which is, I don't want to feel my body, or it could be feelings, thoughts, memories. I'm just going to stay above it all and keep going. It's that, some people call it a spiritual bypass. I'm just going to keep myself busy. My mind's going to keep obsessing so that I don't actually connect to anything below my head. And you can see how the mind-body stuff, the body compass, all the Martha Beck tools are geared towards addressing both of these areas, cognitive fusion and experiential avoidance. And let me wanted to address my notes. And this is also ACT is similar to mindfulness. It's get not engaging in those stressful stories, and it takes practice because a lot of those thoughts are well grouped, and we are conditioned to believe our thoughts so much. Like that's how it's. At some point when we were in our developmental process, the way we put together the world, it kept us safe in whatever situation, you know, it's how we made sense of the situation. And so we believed, whether it's, you know, all people that wear hats are evil, you know, at that point in your life, maybe that was true. Whatever it was, that's what we believe. And it creates these weird reactions, and we don't even see it because we're so identified until we can start to get some space and go, wow, that is just a thought. I, you know, and it's interesting because even as it's not like you get done with this work in because there are triggers that I'm still unraveling. And I was just noticing this week, it was kind of like Monday morning is such a typical thing. I get really I did the ACT, like I wrote down my thoughts and it was like, oh, my God, you've got to go. You've got no time. It's Monday morning. And there's so much to do, and you're not going to get it done, blah, 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 blah. And I wrote it down, and I was like, wow, that is all. And my body was all revved up. I was tight, feeling anxious and scared. And really, it's just some part of me that did keep me safe by making sure I had an adrenaline rush on Monday morning. But it's actually not very helpful right now. So I'm just saying that you continue to work, you'll find other places where you are believing your thoughts, and it may not be having positive effects. It's kind of like a never-ending process, but it creates more and more space. So the idea is, and you can do this anywhere. You can notice when you're pumping gas, what are the thoughts that you're having, and creating more space around them. So becoming an observer of your thoughts is powerful, and it works beautifully. And so sometimes, like even, Tanya, what you gave Rachel, like write down all your thoughts and keep them with you during the week. You can even have somebody, you can give homework to a client. I just want you to notice your thoughts throughout the week and notice what are your dominant, like what's your mind obsessing about? Because our mind is really trying to keep us away from actually the present moment because it thinks it's really helping us stay away from danger. So I want to do a little demo, and I need a volunteer, but all of you are going to be doing it at the same time I'm working with a volunteer. And it's just it'll be easy and quick. You just need some sort of limiting thought. So who would like to volunteer? Oh, come on, you guys. I'll do it. Okay, David. Excellent.
Yes.
So as David's doing this, you guys, I want you to come up with your version of it. So, David, I want you to think about an upsetting or reoccurring negative judgment that takes the form of, you know, I'm blank. I'm stupid. I'm foolish. I'm disorganized. I'm not good enough. Something along those lines.
Okay. Give me a minute.
Okay. And all of you do the same thing. And when you do it, I would even encourage you to write it down. David, you don't have to. I'm going to be writing yours down. But
I will not succeed at coaching.
I won't succeed at coaching. Okay, I'm just going to have you, I'm just going to talk to you about this a little bit, and you guys answer these same questions. So I won't succeed at coaching.
Okay.
What's so bad about that?
I guess it's because it's kind of what I'm doing right now, and I kind of walked away from my job a little over a year ago and been studying this type of work for probably within that year. I kind of sort of put myself, I guess, like a cave and started focusing on my spiritual growth and my personal growth. And this is kind of where I am, and it kind of feels like I've put it all in one little ball, and if it doesn't succeed, then where am I going to go from there?
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to be where all my focus is right now. I wouldn't say all my focus, but a lot of it is.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really wrapped it around the having to succeed at coaching, but it's kind of feels like it's moving in that direction now.
That's what I was wondering. Is the belief I have to succeed in coaching, or is it I won't succeed in coaching? Which one's kind of has a...
I won't succeed at coaching probably resonates with me more than I have to, because I really know I don't have to, but I think I would like to just to help others as well as myself.
Okay. So I won't succeed at coaching. I want you to... really hold that thought in your mind for several seconds and really believe it. I won't succeed at coaching. And bring evidence up that even supports I won't succeed at coaching. And everybody else can do the same thing. Hold that thought. As you're doing that, notice how that thought affects your body.
Oh, yeah. Already there.
Okay. What emotions, or also notice the emotions that come up when you have that thought?
The first thing I notice is right to the pit of my stomach. I feel like almost sick. And then I get like this warm and tingling feeling up and down my arms, almost like hot flash or something like that. That feels like everything inside of me is boiling up.
Okay.
Doesn't feel very good. Doesn't feel very comforting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tell me, it sounds like it really kind of attacks your system in some way.
Oh, yeah, immediately. As soon as you said go there.
Okay.
Yep. Unnerving.
Okay, now, so hopefully everybody else is kind of having their own experience with your own thought, noticing what affects in your body and the emotions. And now I'm going to ask you, David, and everybody else, I want you to insert the phrase, I'm having the thought that I won't succeed in coaching. So I want you to put the phrase, I'm having the thought that, in front of it, and I want you to say it out loud 2 or 3 times. And notice what happens in your body as you say it.
I'm having a thought that I won't succeed at my coaching. I'm having the thought that I won't succeed at my coaching. I'm having the thought that I won't succeed at my coaching.
And tell us what happened for you as you said that.
It's interesting because as I'm saying it, it starts to lessen a little bit, like as if I'm really starting to notice that I'm having this thought. Not that it's just a thought. It's almost like, okay, now I'm paying attention that I'm actually having this thought. So it actually starts
right.
to lessen a little bit, but then it almost, as I'm doing it, it's almost, it at first it kind of worsened and then it lessened a little bit the more that I've said it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's try one more version of this.
Okay.
I want you to put, I notice I'm having the thought that I won't succeed at my coaching. So I notice I'm having the thought that, and everybody else do that for your thought. And
okay.
and David, say it two or three times out and notice what happens in your body as you do.
I notice that I'm having the thought that I won't succeed at coaching. I notice that I'm having the thought that I won't succeed at coaching. I notice that I'm having the thought that I won't succeed at coaching.
Tell us what happened for you in your body.
Similar, but not quite as strong.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's correct or not, but it's almost like as I continue to talk, it's almost like kind of talk down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more attention I give it, the more I'm not trying to shove it away. So it's almost
right.
like there, and it's like, okay, I can accept it now. It's not something
that's
that I'm trying to just totally force away.
Right.
That makes
that's
sense.
Great.
That makes
yeah,
sense.
It makes a great sense. Like you're not trying to shove it away, but you're actually turning towards and looking
paying
at it.
Paying more attention to it, yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
And often, I don't know if this felt for you, David, and we'll check with other
mm-hmm.
people,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of times it creates more space between you and the thought, less gripping in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Think of that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely felt like... when you first told me to sit with it for a while, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is not true. I was like, I think I'm going to boil here in a minute. That's not good. But then I guess, you know, with the more attention that you give to your thoughts and, like you said, giving it more space, that it actually feels like, okay, this is okay. It's a thought. I can handle this. Let me deal with this. Let me look at this now. Let me pay attention to this. Let's give it a little bit of time.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, the first part is really, it's kind of like the work. It's to actually drop in to feel
mm-hmm.
the sense of suffering that you might be
sure.
having relative to that.
Sure.
And then creating more space by putting, I'm having the thought, and I notice I'm
mm-hmm.
having the thought. It's kind of like backing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
creating more space, like you said. Exactly
yeah.
what it felt like.
Cool. Thank you for being my demo.
Oh, no, you're very welcome. I appreciate you taking the time.
Sure. So I just would love to hear if anybody else did it and how it was for you or if you had the opposite effect or anything that I'd love to hear.
Come on, guys. Don't be shy.
Well, I'll wait, and this is Danielle. I mean, I'm actually so stunned at how easy that is to do and how much space it creates. Like how it
mm-hmm.
immediately creates this sense of relief around the thought.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really impressive that I do have a question as well. But
you're kind of cutting out a little out, Danielle. So I did hear that it was easy and impressive and created a lot of space, and that you have a question.
Yes, well that's pretty much it.
Okay.
how do I sound now? Am I still
breaking? Say that again. A little better.
I may need to call back in.
No, I can hear you. I can hear you now. Go
oh,
ahead.
Okay. Wait, I don't know. Yeah, so
stand exactly how you're standing.
Okay. Top of the hall.
I'm teasing.
Yeah, just that it create the idea, like theoretically I understand this concept of that you create space around the thought, and that makes sense, but the fact that adding a phrase to the beginning creates a change in your body and your whole impression of that. It's just amazing. And so my question is, it sounds like watching Martha's video, like she had the whole little dictator and wild child. It sounds to me like they're, that's a little more time intensive, but the idea is between that exercise and a couple of others, that what you're basically doing is creating a totally, like a space or something around it where you have the opportunity to separate yourself from the thought. It's just creating the space. Is that mm-hmm. the idea?
Yeah, it's moving you into that observer role, which is a different, actually accesses a different part of your brain. And
right.
It makes, so that's why it creates that sense of space versus being totally fused with it and believing, oh my gosh, I won't succeed at my coaching. That's such a true statement. When we observe it, it's not so big. There's us and there's the thought, as opposed to them all being fused into one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Same idea. Good. Anybody else willing to share?
This is Heather. I couldn't do it at the same time because I was taking notes and wanted to write down the questions, and then I also really wanted to be present for David's thing. So I had a hard time doing both. But as you were doing it, I kept thinking, I just have a question. I kept thinking like, okay, so maybe I didn't get the wow effect for me because I wasn't doing it, but I kept thinking, okay, so then are we going to turn it around? How's this going to be like mind-blowing? You know, because it seems good, but I wonder, is there an opportunity at the end or something once you become the observer, like is there a time where you do turn the thought around, or is that just not this particular tool?
Well, that's not this tool, but you could certainly partner it with the work.
Like, it seems like a good tool, but I was kind of like, okay, what next? What next? You know what I mean?
So imagine how I like to use this. If I've just done the work with somebody and they think, let's say we had just done the work with David and I won't succeed at coaching, mm-hmm. I would actually encourage him, if that thought comes up, he's got his turnaround that he's going to be working on. How can he live that? But, you know, there is a groove in his brain that might go back to,
yeah,
I won't succeed at coaching, to use this as a way of saying, okay, when that comes up, try, I'm having the thought, or I notice I'm having the thought.
Yeah.
So, and it's
and maybe it's a good like everyday practice too.
Exactly. Like you're driving in the car and you think, oh my God, I'm going to be late, and it's, or bad things are going to happen, and it's like, oh, that's just a thought. You know.
Right.
I'm having the thought.
Right.
So it's just
the whole
space creator. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the whole point of it is to notice your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does
help
you.
The whole point of it is just
notice,
to be present and say, okay, yeah, I'm thinking that, you know, all of this is just thinking. I sort of think of that as just being present, you know, because when I'm present.
You know, Heather, you'd be surprised at how often we are so unconscious of our thoughts.
Right.
So it's just about turning towards and noticing that's just a thought. I'm being driven by a thought.
I know. See, I'm thinking, I don't like this tool right now. Sorry.
Why?
Well, not that I don't like it. I guess I don't see it as valuable, as super, super valuable. So I'm sorry. I shouldn't be that blunt and honest. I haven't done it. So I will do it and not comment again until I've done it and had the experience.
Okay.
Heather?
And do it towards self-judgments. Okay, go ahead, Tanya.
This is Tanya. I was just going to say that I did it because I was thinking about it for Rachel and thinking about And I felt like it had more impact on my day-to-day functioning than the work does. The work is, I feel like the work, for me, the work is I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do the work. Whereas this, it has become, this week I really have practiced just, I notice I'm having that I look terrible thought again. And just notice it, and I did it a lot, and I had a look, you know, and I could even sit and think, wow, my ego seems to really think that, you know, my appearance is really important. I said, that's interesting. And I was doing it a whole lot throughout the week, which was not the way I do the work. So it's just different.
Yeah. Maybe my result is that I don't want to know what I'm thinking.
I agree with what Tanya is saying here. And I think that it...
Is this Robin?
This is Robin. It gives immediate space to say that's a thought that may not be true. And so without going through the entire work, you can ask question one and two right away and say, is that true? And you can say, well, that's a thought. It may not be true. You can do what you want with it after that, but it gives enough space to discredit the thought as being an absolute.
Yeah. All you're doing is breaking from the fusion of your thoughts. You remember cognitive fusion and experiential avoidance are the two things that create suffering.
Yep.
So all you're doing is saying, wow, that is just a thought. It's not a reality, you know.
Yeah.
It could be,
right.
But it, you know. And just, so, Heather, what's a negative judgment you have about yourself?
I have lots, but I have one that I wrote down. Do you want that one or do you want another one?
Just
so what I wrote down for when we were going through it was just, I'm going to fail. But I have lots of negative judgments about myself.
Okay, so I'm going to fail. So I'm just going to walk you through it. So I want you to really believe that thought, I'm going to fail. Really bring it to the forefront. Gather evidence that it's true that you're going to fail.
Okay.
Now notice what happens. Just report what happens in your body and your emotions when you do that.
Well, I feel like I'm going to cry, and I feel like I've been punched in the stomach, and then I've got this crazy, like it's like a weight on my forehead pulling me like down to the earth. It's like a bam, like this weight on my forehead.
Okay, so that's pretty darn loud when you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now I want you to just try saying, I'm having the thought that I'm going to fail, two or three times out loud.
Okay. I'm having the thought that I'm going to fail. I'm having the thought that I'm going to fail. I'm having the thought that I'm going to fail. I'm having the thought that I'm going to fail.
And check in with your body and emotions and see what you think.
Yeah, well, interesting. I don't feel like I'm going to cry. My stomach feels better, but my head is still being drawn down to the ground. Like there's still a bit of a weight there, but it's a bit less.
Okay. So the first two, crying and the stomach, feel better, but there's still a weight there.
Yeah.
Okay. So there is a shift, acknowledging that shift just with that little bit right there.
Yeah.
Now try saying, I notice I'm having the thought that I'm going to fail.
Okay. I notice that I have the thought I'm going to fail. I notice that I have the thought I'm going to fail. I notice that I have the thought I'm going to fail.
Try saying
that's
it,
better.
I notice I'm have, okay, so you notice a shift.
Yeah, I did notice a shift. Did I say it wrong?
Well, you just that I'm having, like it's a verb, I'm having the thought.
Oh, okay.
That I'm going to, that's all.
Okay.
It was just a little.
Right.
So what's shift
it still worked.
Now? Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened was, it was interesting, actually, because my head split in two and opened, and the weights fell off. So,
well, there you go. Very useful there.
I'm sorry. Maybe I just wanted to practice.
I think so. So I let you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
You bet.
I'm sold.
See, it does work, Heather. See, it does work.
Okay.
Okay, so that is a really, like Tanya was saying, and Robin, you know, it's a go-to. You're in the middle of something, and you're really stressed out, and it's kind of like checking in. Wow, what am I thinking? Wow, I notice I'm having a thought. I'm going to fail, or I'm going to screw this up, or nobody loves me. Whatever it is, it's a very powerful tool. On the go. Let's call it the on-the-go tool.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, Chris Marie.
Yeah, David.
Chris, it feels like this would be something really useful, like when you've really spent some time with a client at the end of the work. You know, when you ask them after the turnarounds which one of those resonates with you the most, and maybe next time, you know, you have this thought, this would come into play for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For the week after, you know, what I would suggest so when you go back to that old thought, I won't suggest coaching, try saying, I notice I'm having the thought, or I'm having the thought that,
yeah,
you know, to observe it. And then also you
right.
can say, and then say the turnaround and see how that feels.
Right, right,
you
know, okay.
You can link them together like that.
Yep, yep, good. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next tool is called Naming Your Stories. And this is, it's kind of identifying a group of thoughts that are currently causing you suffering. And just like when Tanya had basically had Rachel kind of do this, there might be two or three top thoughts on a topic. And you may not know all that they are, but what I suggest, and I'm going to actually give you a chance to do this for a minute, to pick an area of suffering, whether it's money, your coaching practice, your kids, your whatever, relationship, health. And I want you to just take time to write all your beliefs, your thoughts that come up around that. So do that right now. Okay, there may be more. Hopefully you are in a little bit of a flow. Anybody willing to share your collection of thoughts? Somebody that we maybe haven't heard from? Jerry or Annalie?
This is Jerry. I just didn't get a collection of thoughts. I only got a couple. So that's why.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's see. Annalie, you were speaking up. What do you have something to share?
Yeah. It's okay if Jerry can go ahead.
Okay, Jerry, let's hear your two.
And they're similar, so that's why I'm wondering, what am I doing here? So you said thoughts about our coaching practice, right?
I put that as an example that you could have some negative thoughts around or street.
Well, I thought that's what you wanted to focus on, so I was like struggling a little bit. Okay, so I have adults don't want to pay for coaching for themselves. Adults don't see value in money spent on life coaching. So that was just some thoughts that I have that
okay.
are not yet.
Okay, well, that's two is enough. It's kind of, if you had to give your these two, and there might be more. And by the way, it was coaching, health, relationship, money. You could have any sort of painful area.
Okay.
You might want to try this again on other areas. But what would the headline of that be? If you were doing a newspaper article, go ahead.
Adults don't want life coaching.
Yeah, that was that. So what your story would be when you start thinking those thoughts, it's like, oh, that's my adults don't want life coaching story.
Okay.
It's kind of naming that collection of thoughts.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Jerry?
Yep.
Okay. Let's hear if somebody else is willing to share their collection. Anybody?
Okay, Chris Marie, can I try again? It's Annalie.
Yeah. Annalie.
Okay, well, my problem is I'm still struggling with know what my thoughts are. So I have two titles here, conflict and confusion.
I'm having a little bit of a hard time, Annalie, understanding you. It sounds like you're having a hard time identifying what your thoughts are.
Yes.
Okay.
Did
you write anything down?
Well, I wrote down two words now. One is conflict and one is confusion.
Okay.
Can you hear me properly? Because in mine,
a little bit. I heard one is conflict and one is confusion.
Yes.
And it sounds like Annalie, to help you identify your thoughts, one thing is just to do free writing about an area that you're upset about, whether it's relationship, and just write down what you think is going on or how you feel about it as a way of finding your thoughts. Does that make sense?
Yes. Since last week, something big happened that what I found was that
I can't understand you, Annalie. I hear something big happened.
Yes. So I have lots of body sensations.
You have a lot of body sensations?
Yes. For the first 2 days, I tried to get the thoughts. Okay,
you know, I don't know, Annalie, if you can call in again, because I am having such a hard time, and I want to help you, so I'm struggling.
Yeah. I'm also starting to cry now.
You're crying. Okay, that makes sense. So it sounds like something big happened. You have a lot of body sensations about it. Did you journal about it or write about it? Or can you tell us what happened?
Okay, I'm trying to speak without crying. I'm really trying, okay?
I'm okay if you just want to cry. I really am. Because it sounds like it was a real painful situation, what happened for you.
The thing that triggered a lot of it, or pain, and that's really it's from a time when I did not have words, so it felt like I couldn't work this with words. So but it did.
So, Annalie, I think what might be happening is you remember, it sounds like you're in square one about something. I'm not really sure what, but it may be important for you to do the grieving part of this, because there are no words first. So to actually allow yourself to feel your feelings and allow them to move through your body, since there's pain. And I'm happy to actually have a conversation with you outside of class, if you want to support you.
Thank you. Thank you. That'll be
yeah.
Fine.
Okay. So why don't you just send me an email, and we can connect after class.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you
okay.
very much.
You bet. Because we're, I'm going to pause unless somebody just wants to blurt out their. Jump in and tell me their collection of, in the area of suffering, what their beliefs are, and then we could headline that. Anybody willing?
I'd love to.
Okay. Who is this? Is this Heather?
It's Heather again. I don't have to go, but if nobody else is going,
no,
to go,
Heather, go ahead. Let's
okay.
Just,
okay. My in-laws are coming tomorrow, by the way. So, okay, here are the thoughts. My in-laws drain me. They suck the life right out of me. They drive me crazy, guilt trip my kids, suffocate me, take too much time.
Okay, lot on that. So what
I know, but I want to love them.
But right now you don't, and that's okay.
Yeah, it just has to change in 24 hours.
What's the headline for this story about your in-laws?
I don't really get how you come up with the headline. Is it just the, like, what I, like, is it, I don't really get, is it just what I think the story would be called? Is that it?
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, like, that's my in-laws are drain-sucking vampires, or I don't know.
Right. Well, that would make me laugh.
Well, then
that's really good.
That's the idea, because what happens, so to pick a, the idea is, again, we have these bundles of beliefs, and we cycle through them over and over again. And what we're doing is we're putting a name on them. I call it a headline, like a newspaper headline, because it's a way of going, oh, I'm in my, my in-laws are vampire draining suckers or whatever. I'm in that story again. So it's
I've
a
got,
way
I've got
of,
a title for Heather.
What
okay,
is it?
Uh-oh, the in-laws are coming.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they're both awesome.
So it's only to recognize your thinking about it.
Yeah.
And headline it.
Okay.
And it's neat that it
okay.
would make you laugh, so you would notice, oh, I'm in that story again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
Okay. Thanks. You bet. And the third two, I'm kind of moving along because I want you guys to actually have another chance to do the work. So be thinking about who wants to coach and who wants to be the client. But we have one more tool that I'm going to talk about. It's called fact versus fiction. And you can do this for the in-laws. You can do this for your coaching practice. You can do this for an upsetting situation that's happened in your life. It's more about when you can write. It's writing out the story of, like, I have, I'm trying to think of an example. Like, we have a puppy. We're learning, you know, like, and her name's Rosie. So Rosie is never going to actually learn how to be an obedient dog. She's always going to be too hyper to play with. I hate taking her on walks when she's not obeying. It's about letting yourself vent and then going back and either underlying the fact and circling the fiction. Like the fiction that Rosie's never going to be an obedient dog, that's fiction. I cannot, right now she's not obedient, but I don't know if she's ever going to be obedient. So that's a story that I'm making up. I hate taking walks with her. That's actually a fiction because there's only some times that I hate. So I don't even know if there's very much fact in what I just said in my little example. But this is a great way when you have a story fondler who is kind of repeating the same story over again. You're like, wow, we're back here. Is have them write down the story of whether they're upset with somebody or their relationship or their coaching practice, whatever, write it down and have them identify what is actually fact in what you wrote down and what is it that you're just, is a feeling, a story, a globalization, which is still a story. So questions about fact versus fiction. Okay.
This is
Danielle.
Elian, one quick question.
Sure.
When you're talking to a client about, well, because we listened to that example in our recording, mm-hmm. would someone get defensive if you called it a fiction? You know, like if you're saying, is that a fiction? And in their minds, that I thought the word fiction might trigger a response from them. Like, no,
that's
not fiction.
Really good, because that means you're bumping into their religion.
Right,
if
exactly.
You could say
he's
no good, that's their story about him. You could say it
right.
That way. Well, that sounds like your story about him. We can't really measure whether he's no good. You know, that's just your story and opinion.
So you have an opportunity to profile to them that they've made it a fact. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's very powerful because all of this is to loosen your attachment to your beliefs, and we do think things are true when they are just make-believe,
mm-hmm.
and that's the value of reflecting that back, Danielle, that, and sure, they might get defensive, so be with them on that. It sounds like that really upsets you to consider that he might actually not be no good.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Just hang in with them
tool.
Where they're at.
Yeah, I like the tool. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Good. And the other one I think Amy had on there is singing your stories. Did she have that one on there? Anybody listen to that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so if you're really attached, you can actually sing them as an opera or sing them as a love song or a drama. You know, you can embody them. And that's another way of going, wow, this is just my mind. And you'll have those people that are like, uh-uh, I don't want to let go of it. And then you actually take something to the work if they're really attached to it so that they can feel the sense of suffering that they have versus creating a little bit more space around it. Okay.
So that was a question I had on fact versus kitchen. This is Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And the example in the book was, my brother is lazy, he drinks too much, I think he drinks too much, and he neglects his kids, and those are all fictions. And my question is, what if I can come up with 10 pieces of evidence that my brother neglects his kids? That makes it seem really factual, even though we're saying that pieces of evidence are the facts, and that's actually just the story. But if I'm so sure about that story, is it then take that to the work, or you know, what do you do with those really?
It's kind of like. Go ahead. Sorry, Robin.
Yeah. No, I'm done.
Okay. I think it's different with if you say he neglects his kids versus he didn't go to his daughter's recital last week. He hasn't paid child support. See, I had never in there, which is a little more of a fiction. He hasn't paid child support since they separated, and he doesn't have a job. That's different than the story that he neglects his kids. So all that evidence might convince me that he neglects his kids, but it just is different when you separate. This is just about separating the story of neglect versus the behavior that I see.
Yes, okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So
and then I would...
It's sort of the circumstances and the thoughts, going back to the basic...
Exactly.
The circumstances
are
the things he actually does, and the thought is he neglects his kids, but the mm-hmm. thought can be true or not true. The circumstances
Correct.
Are the fact. Okay, gotcha.
I would call them not necessarily circumstances, might be he got divorced 3 months ago, actions he hasn't paid child
okay.
support.
Yeah.
So that I would put that in that other column. But yeah, their behaviors, they're things I could see
but
on a video camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good question. Okay, so any questions about the ACT tools and how to weave them into your thought dissolving practice? Okay. Well, let's switch then, and we're going to have another couple of people do the work. So who would like to be the coach?
I will. This is Danielle.
Okay, Danielle. Good for you. And who would like to be the client? Who's willing to be the client? Doesn't have to be monumental stuff. Heather, are you willing to be the client? Or Jerry, are you willing to be the client? I'm looking for people who haven't been clients in a while.
Am I off mute now?
You're off mute. Is this Heather?
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to be the client.
Okay. Okay. So, Danielle, I'm going to let you – so you're coaching Heather. Start from the beginning. See if you've got, you know, what the painful thought is, the situation. Take her through the work as far as you can get. You may not get through it all because we're a little short on time. If you get stuck – say, can I chat? And I may interrupt or help you out even unasked. But go ahead and start with Heather.
All right. And if I'm breaking up, Heather, just let me know. I'll move to another part of
the room. Sure thing. I'll do that.
Yeah, so hi, Heather. Why don't you just shoot on what you want to bring?
Sure. Well, since you've already heard that my in-laws are coming and it's kind of on my mind, maybe maybe we could talk a bit about that. So I don't know. Do you want me to just – should I be starting with my painful thoughts,
can,
Chris Marie?
Yeah, hold on.
Or Danielle or
something.
I would so you can do the five whys. You might have a limiting thought that you know, Heather, is really painful. But, Danielle, you want to make sure you know, it doesn't have to be the best thought. Just take one and take it to the work. But kind of spend a little bit of time getting that.
Okay. So I feel like, in general, my husband's family take just a lot of energy. We don't live near them. We don't live near my family either, so they always travel here. So they stay for a week or two, and they come several times a year. And so tomorrow, my husband's dad and then his grandma. So I will be hosting, you know, 68-year-old dad and 95-year-old grandma for the next week. And it just takes a lot of work. And then, you know, a couple more months, and his mom will be coming, and his stepdad. And it just feels like it's this constant cycle of my husband's family coming to visit and sucking so much time and energy. And there's, like, all these things that I want to be doing, like with my coaching practice and blah, blah, blah. So it might be something like they just take a lot of time or energy. And then I think I resent it because I'm such a sensitive person that when they're here, it's like I feel like I can't separate. It's like all consuming. And you know, other people can, you know, kind of be more relaxed about it. And I'm not really generally a relaxed person. I'm super sensitive and I am worried about everybody. Is she okay? Is he okay? Is it, like, how's everybody feeling? You know, it's just insane. So it takes a lot out of me. So I think then I resent them because they're all super casual. They're not emotional sensitive beings. So they don't think it's a big deal. I'm sort of like the black sheep and it's a big deal for me, but nobody really gets it.
Okay. This is really helpful, and I think that there are a couple of things here, but would you say more, a little bit more about how you would feel they'd suck the time and energy from you? Maybe a little more detail on that?
Sure. Well, I just feel like even planning for, I mean, they're different than us. They don't sort of spend their time the same way and eat the same way, and they interact with our kids differently than we're used to our friends around here interacting with them. And, you know, say, for example, my little boy, he is 4 years old and he has a lot of feminine energy. So he likes to wear girl stuff and that really bugs them. So then I'm in this like tormented place between protecting my son from people saying mean things about him and then also understanding that they, you know, they're just old school. They just think they just want to go play baseball with them. And he's like, let's play dress up. I'm going to be a princess. And they're like, oh, what have you done to my grandchild kind of thing. And it's really hard to be in the middle of that. And then it's hard to see everybody suffering as a result of something that I think is so natural.
Okay. That's helpful. So I'm hearing a lot around how there's a real difference in sort of how they are, almost the culture in terms of how they are and how, you know, you and your family operate. So
yeah.
It's like so I mean, I have a hunch that it goes beyond time and energy.
Yeah.
And it's more about sort of how they are with your family. And specifically with your,
You're totally right. I think it's more that I want to be able to be myself and I want my kids to be able to be themselves because that's like my pride and joy is my ability to give them the freedom to figure out who they are. I feel like I've done a kick-ass job of that. And when they come, I'm so confused. I have to protect them and I no longer know how to keep this love and freedom of who they really are. I feel like I have to say, okay, put this on because grandpa's coming. Don't be yourself. And that's really painful because that's not what I want to do. And the alternative, I guess, is confronting him, which my husband would be like completely horrified, but I could do it because I'm kind of like that. I'm pretty ballsy. And I try to say things with grace and love, but they don't always come out the right way. But I love to speak the truth, and if it's really painful, I will probably stick up for my kid and say, look, you're going to have to accept this, or you may not be able to stay here. But anyways, I'm going to start getting emotional. You're right. It's not about the time and energy. It's about the fact that I want my kids and myself to be accepted for who we really are.
Okay.
So I don't feel... Except, well, it's not a feeling thing, it's a thought. So it's something about, like, not being accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have to change. Like, we have to, it's not even about the food. We have to change who we are to make this visit okay for 7 fucking days. We have to change who we really are. And I have to make my kids change, otherwise they'll be made fun of.
Right, okay. I think I'm hearing from you that's the nail on the head. Although I do want to quickly test something, but I'm really hearing from you, Heather, that is the painful thought.
Mm-hmm. What is it, Danielle? Say it out loud.
We have to change who we are. Although Heather, first of all, let me confirm, is that what you said, and is that right when I say that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I would put for them
that effect,
in that.
Yeah.
We have to change who we are for them.
Yeah.
Right, for them. Yes. Okay, Heather, how does that sound to you?
That's
we have
very
to change
true.
Who I are for them. Okay.
Yeah, that's totally it.
Okay.
And that is so heartbreaking for me.
Yeah, I can hear that.
Like, I can get the food and suffer with the time thing, but changing who we are, I don't know how to do that. But they know how to do that very well, and it's just not me.
Okay. Well, let's work that thought. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Just take one big, deep breath for me, if you can. Right. So when I say the thought, we have to change who we are for them. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. All right. If I say the thought, we have to change who we are for them, can you know that is absolutely true?
Yes.
Okay. Right. All right. So I know that you're feeling a lot right now, but what I'd like you to do just for a little bit you're obviously feeling, but I want you to think of a specific situation where you feel that way, where you feel like you and your family and your son have to change.
Yeah, I've got it. Do you want me to tell you it?
Sure, just really briefly.
The last time we visited his grandpa, so the guy that's coming, my son Cedar was running around in a red dress, and he shamed him and told him to go put on a Spider-Man outfit, and my son no longer wanted to be a boy. He hated himself. And I wasn't really there for it. I just found out after. So that situation, and then, of course, it took me a long time to save him from that pain. Anyway, so it was when he was told it wasn't okay. And I wasn't there to protect him.
I'm sorry, Heather. That really is painful. What I want you to do right now is I want you to tell me how you're feeling, with the emotions you're feeling, and what's going on in your body right now. When you have that thought, we have to change who we are for them.
Sorry. Sorry, you want me to tell you how I'm feeling in my body?
Yeah, and the emotions.
Yeah. well, I'm upset, and I just feel like my heart is breaking. So, like, my heart feels breaking. It's the most painful thing I've ever felt. And I was not expecting to talk about this. And I have to quickly say, the crazy thing is that on this particular Monday, it's the only day my husband always has my son on Monday, but today's the one day he's just downstairs. And I, in the back of my head, I kept thinking, like, oh, I shouldn't say yes to coaching, because what if he comes up? Like, he's here, but maybe, I don't know, maybe somehow that's what made this come up, because I never would have planned on talking about this. Okay, sorry, back on track. So I'm sorry if he interrupts. I hope he doesn't.
Okay, well, if he does, just let us know, okay?
Okay.
So, very painful, very painful. Tell me, how are you right now?
Like, I'm a bad mom. Like, I don't know how to protect him. I'm just beating myself up for not somehow doing it right.
How would you treat others with the thought, you have the thought, we have to change who we are for them? Let's turn to them. How would you be treating your in-laws and your husband's family?
I'm fake. I'm very withholding of... I have a big heart, but I withhold it from them because I'm, like, kind of on guard. It's like I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to, yeah, I don't treat them. I'm just fake. Because I feel like I can't let my guard down. So I have to just be on it.
How are you treating your husband?
Like shit. I'm always mad at him that they're even coming because I'm just scared of that it's going to be really hard and that I'm the only one that thinks it's okay to let my kid really be seen, and that even my husband, as much as he tries so hard, he just wants him, you know, to be a baseball-loving boy like all of fucking society. And I'm, like, the only one that gets it, that that's not who he is.
It's not who he is.
Sorry, I forgot the question.
Just how you're treating your husband. You're answering it. Just how
Shit. Like shit. And then I feel bad about that, too.
Right. How are you treating
like
your
way
son?
Way worse than I thought it would be. I'm so sorry, everybody.
No. Don't apologize. How are you treating your son?
Well, I'm questioning him more than I should be because I'm gently trying to get him to conform to keep him safe.
Okay. All right, we're going to let you release this time. It was clearly very painful for you. All right, listen. I'd love you to take a couple of breaths right now.
Okay.
Great. Okay. Now, you've had that situation happen, but the same exact situation, but you do not have the thought, we have to change who we are for them. It's gone. I want you to tell me who you are without that thought.
I don't know. I can't get there. Normally I can get there, but I'm in the situation and I don't have the thought, but he's still shaming him. I don't know. I don't know how to get there.
Maybe we could step away from the situation for just a moment. That situation is very painful. That was a very specific situation. And that's not, I understand that that happened. But what I want you to do is maybe just go back to the general feeling that they're in your house. They're visiting.
Okay.
They're in your home. Okay?
Okay.
And you don't have a thought. You don't have a thought at all. We have to change who we are for them.
Okay. Well, that feels lighter.
Mm-hmm. Who are you without that thought?
I'm just a big open heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just free to dance and twirl around with my kids and his 95-year-old grandma, which she'll love every minute of it, so I'm just free.
Tell me more. How are you treating yourself?
I'd just be kinder to myself, more relaxed. I wouldn't plan as much. I wouldn't stress as much. I'd just kind of take it one moment at a time, and we'd all probably have a lot more fun.
All right. If I could, what I'd like to do, I realize that I hope I'm not rushing you too much, but I really would like to do a turnaround with you, at least one.
Yeah, sure. I could do it.
I think that might be helpful. I'd like you to turn around the thought, we have to change who we are for them. Can you turn it to the opposite?
Yeah, we don't have to change who we are for them.
Can you give me three examples of how that might be true or truer?
Well, I'm sure they're interested to see sort of how we live from day to day without putting on sort of a fake show for them. I'm sure they're excited about that. I think they would probably also just enjoy some of the day-to-day tasks and things that I feel like I have to have all done so that we can just visit, but they'd probably just enjoy being part of it. Well, that might be the same as the first one, sorry. What am I doing again?
We've turned it to the opposite. So, we do not have to change who we are for them.
Yes. Oh my gosh! I swear. And now my son is yelling for me. This is like the only day I have him since the training started. I'm sorry. And now he's screaming, "Mommy."
You know, if we,
Chris Marie, what would you like me to do? I'm sorry.
Well, I would definitely attend to your son. Let him know you hear him and he's there. See if you have to, you know, and if he settles down like he just wants to get something, then come back.
Okay. Okay, just one second.
You back.
Okay, I'll just be a few more minutes on the phone, okay, hon? Okay? Okay, and I'll sit right here so you know I'm close.
Okay.
Okay, he's good.
Okay. Good. Look at that.
I swore I wouldn't be on the hot seat today because of this, but anyways, here I am. I guess it's meant
maybe
to be.
There's a reason, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm back.
Okay, so where we are is you are looking for three examples of how
we don't have to change.
We do not have to change who we are for them.
Yeah, and do I have at least two now?
We have certainly one, maybe two. So they you just said that they want to see how you guys are in your life. They just want to see kind of you and your habitat, so to speak. Yeah.
We don't have to change. Well, they would certainly also appreciate a more relaxed atmosphere. And if I don't put the pressure on myself to change and be fake and perfect and whatever, then they would enjoy the general feeling would be lighter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you think of a third example of how it might be true? We do not have to change who we are for them.
Well, other than the stuff with my son, in the past, you know, they really like us. We're pretty great people. They already like us as we are. So there is evidence in the past that we've had a good time together and really enjoy talking to us and finding out what we're interested in and stuff like that.
Okay. Let's do another turnaround.
Okay.
What if we switched around to switched it around from they, where we start with the other, okay?
Okay.
The other being them. Do you want me to try it for you? Or?
Yeah, sure.
Danielle, why don't you read the original thought?
Yep.
And just ask her if she can turn it around to the other and remind her that just means you're switching roles between we and they.
Okay.
And see if she can come up with it.
Okay. So the original thought, Heather, is we have to change who we are for them. Can you try to turn it around to the other, starting with them or they?
Okay. So we have to change who we are for them. They have to change who they are for us. Is that right?
That sounds right to me. Okay. So let's just.
Well, that would be very cool.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Yeah, they have to change who they are for us.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so are the examples in the past then, like evidence of how I've seen that true in the past, or can I make it up?
Ideally, yes. Like think about three.
Okay.
And make it be super specific, like anything really.
Okay.
See if you can find examples.
Okay, how they've changed for us. they've changed food for us in the past. We've been in and out of being vegetarian and things like that, so they've accommodated us in the way of food in the past, and that's been nice. How they have changed for us. They have changed things like the times that they do things, you know, because we have kids, and so they've rearranged their schedule a bit to make sure that our kids get to bed on time and stuff when we visited in the past, which I really appreciate because otherwise it's a nightmare. How they have changed for us. Well, they've taken an interest in, you know, finding out what we're all interested in, and so they've, I don't know if this has changed, but they've reached out to learn more so that they could sort of be prepared for us in the past, you know, like, what are the kids into these days? What coloring books can we buy them? And blah, blah, blah. So they've, you know, that's not what they normally would do because they don't really have kids around most of the time, so.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, those are three very specific examples.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if we have time, there's one final turnaround I want to do that's slightly different than changing it to yourself.
Go ahead.
All right. I want you to put my thinking at the very beginning. So the statement we've been focused on is we have to change who we are for them.
Yeah.
I want you to put my thinking there at the beginning.
We have to change who we are for them. So my thinking has to change for them? Do I just skip that middle part?
I'm curious, no. Danielle, how come you're not doing a self turnaround? Turn it around to itself. Go ahead.
Well, I thought we was sort of similar to I, but help me ask, Chris Marie.
So just have, try, I'm not saying what you're doing is wrong. It just,
okay.
I would do the three basics where I or she takes all the roles in the sentence.
Okay. Okay,
they
let's
disappear.
Do it.
See what
happens. So it would be I have to change who we are for them.
Who I am.
Who I am.
For me.
Them.
For
oh.
me.
Oh, okay.
I have to
okay.
change.
Okay. Good.
I have to change who I am for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's
oh. a self turnaround where
sense.
You take all the
Because I was worried that we would go down the negative path there. Okay. I have to change who I am for me.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Okay. I have to change who I am for me. Well, I guess in the past when I've changed, every time I've worked on myself, which is like all the frickin' time, every time I've worked on myself, I change so that I can be more at peace with my surroundings. Is that an example?
Use it in relationship even with them, though. That's what I look for.
Okay.
Oh,
I forget
okay,
the line already. It's a bit of a mind twister. I have to change.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Well, could I make a suggestion, Heather? So you had talked a little bit about when you have the thought, how you are, when you carry that
yeah.
thought. We have to change.
Yeah.
So you talk about how you treat others, how you treat yourself. How might that be different if you were to have the thought, I have to change who I am for me?
Well, I guess, okay, how have I done that in the past? Yeah, so I guess in the past, I have asked for time out. Like, that's been successful, and that is changing myself because that's out of my comfort zone, like asking for a break, for a time away, like I need to go for a 2-hour
yeah.
walk or something.
Yeah.
So that's one. I have to change who I am for me. I have to change. Oh, my kid is yelling again. I'm so sorry. This is like a nightmare
okay.
call.
No. You need to go to tend him, Heather. Okay.
Go ahead and see what he wants.
I'm so sorry. I swear, this is...
Heather, it's not a problem.
Yeah, seriously, it's not.
Well, I've had childcare every other day, which is why I'm going to, like, beat myself up after this call now.
No, don't.
I don't know if I want to finish.
Okay, well, we can carry on after.
Just one sec.
10 more minutes and I'm off, okay? Mm. Okay. I'll tell you in a minute.
Oh, great. He's like, why are you so sad? Okay, I told him 10 minutes and I'm done. Okay, sorry.
Okay, what we can do here is, I mean, you actually gave me a really good clue before about how you would perhaps, you would follow through on the I have to change who I am for me. So you just gave one, which is you would give yourself a timeout.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a really big clue with how you were without the thought. You talked about how you would have an open heart. You would not have the thought, we have to change who we are for them. You would have an open heart. You'd be free, you'd be dancing. You'd be kinder. You'd be more relaxed.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
you,
yeah.
You would,
if I just let go of it. So if I change my thinking about it, about the whole situation, which I don't know if I've done that in the past, so I don't know if I have evidence of it, but I can try to do it this time.
Right.
And because this is such a split focus for you, Heather, because your son's sitting there, you know, one, I just want to check in and see how you are right now with this process.
How I am, sorry, with what? Just with this?
Just right now.
Well, I just feel like crap, to be honest, because this is like my worst nightmare that I would be
called on a day when I have him, but like I said, I haven't. This is like my husband had an emergency. He couldn't be here today,
Heather, you're having the thought that you screwed up or you've done this wrong. Is that true?
Yeah, of course. I failed, which is one of my main stupid things that I'm always thinking.
I want you to just try creating a little bit more space around it. I'm having the thought that I failed. Say it 3 times out loud. Just try.
I'm having the thought that I failed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having the thought that I failed. I'm having the thought that I failed.
Slow your breathing. Feel your feet and your bum. Try it one more time.
And now I feel humiliated. And this is what happens with them, is I just speak the truth and then I'm humiliated and I feel so embarrassed.
So I'm curious how you came up with that, because I think Danielle and I and the whole class are right here with you. This makes
right
sense that it would be Yeah.
We are with you. Heather, we're all here. We're all here, Heather. You're fine.
Yes,
you're okay.
I'm ready for you too, Heather.
Give yourself
a minute. Well, I just didn't
want to
be a blubbering mess.
You're not. You do whatever you need.
Well, you are a blubbering mess, and you're human. And you are not the only blubbering mess.
Okay.
And your
it's
son
needs
you right
now.
It's
a space for you to be a blubbering mess.
We're all blubbering messes sometimes, Heather.
Yes, we are.
So
okay.
I'm just saying that because I know a lot is going on, and I think it's actually perfect timing that you're doing this, especially with your son saying, "Pay attention to me, pay attention to me." This is what a son should do, and so I'm just wanting you to have a little compassion about your situation that I think at least I'm experiencing, and I think you're hearing from other people they're experiencing
as
well.
Of course, yes,
yeah. And I just don't want to create any more tension for you in the current call. So I want to pause right here. I'm wondering if you're willing to have a follow-up session with Danielle, since there is a lot here. And Danielle, if you're willing.
Of course. Yeah, sure.
Okay. And maybe not today, since you don't have childcare, but maybe tomorrow, sometime this week, when you guys can arrange it. Would that work for you guys?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Heather, I'd be happy to do it whenever it works for you.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Sure.
And I just want, just as a way, and Danielle, I kind of stepped on your toes. Are you okay?
No, I'm fine.
On your toes?
No,
okay.
No, I was very helpful.
Okay, so I just want to see, what is one thing, go ahead, Danielle, and ask the final question about the turnarounds and the original thought. See if we can.
Oh, you mean the one that I was going to do?
No, just with the three turnarounds, she actually did the opposite, the self and the other, or the other and the self.
Yes.
Yeah. So see which one's truer.
Oh, but to ask her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just having you kind of.
Okay, so we did three turnarounds. The original was we have to change who we are for them. And then we did three turnarounds. So one was we don't have to change who we are for them. We did another one that was they have to change who they are for us.
Yeah.
And the last was I have to change who I am for me. Which of those feels the most true to you?
The last
one. Sure. I have to change who I am for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if we'd given ourselves a little bit of time, we would have been, really able to drill down there. And you were already coming out with, I would like just to say that when you talked about when you didn't have the thought, if the thought was just gone, to hear your voice, Heather, about how you would just be open-hearted and free, the way we all hear you all the time with your wonderful, wonderful voice on these calls. You just sounded joyful, and I know that's where you want to go. So I'm just telling you that I really heard that from when you talked about just not having that thought.
Yeah, thanks.
And Heather, maybe what you could do just in the time frame between now and when you and Danielle connect is you could journal on how I have to change who I am for me. Like what that really, because you know, with the time and your son, that kind of got a little interrupted. So just to take a little bit more contemplative time for yourself, what does that mean for you? Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And is there anything that you, that would be supportive of you before we switch focus and debrief Danielle, how she did?
No, I'm just sorry, I guess. Just let me say sorry. I'm just sorry for the interrupt. Because it'll make me feel better. And that's it. And now I can be done.
You should be sorry. That's all I'm going to say, okay? I'll do reverse psychology.
Yeah. Okay, no, I'm good. You can go ahead.
Okay. So, Danielle, I'm just going to check in, and I'll ask you, Heather, too. What did you like that you did, and were there areas that you struggled with doing the work?
Are you asking me? I'm sorry, Chris Marie.
Yeah, Danielle.
Okay. Yes. Well, I'm happy that at the beginning, I was initially going to go down this so much time and energy approach, and then I'm glad I asked a few questions to make it, it's not about that. So I was happy with that. I think that I kind of feel like I was rushing her. Like I was worried at the time. So I don't know if I would have gone as quickly. I'm just always worried about time. So I think I would have done it differently if I had more time. Anyway, and then the last, I was really struggling with the turnaround around self. Like I immediately did one that wasn't right, and I was like, no, I shouldn't do that because it would be going down the same, like I have to change who we are for them, which is the same concept as the current thought. So anyway, that's why I went down to my thinking because I was like a little bit of a, and I'm glad that you, the one that became the truest is the one that you identified, but it makes me realize that I still don't know turnarounds.
You do them really well. You just have to remember, I don't know how you can remember, self means they take all the human roles.
All of it,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually, now that you said it, it was like, of course. So so I wish I had figured that out for myself. But.
Well,
how?
I thought you did. I think you did now. That's what this learning lab is for.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I volunteered. Okay.
Heather, what worked for you, if you're still there, worked for you with Danielle, and what would you have wanted different?
I think you were fabulous. I loved how you were kind and compassionate, and I felt like you were in control of the call, and I was lost in myself. but I felt safe and taken care of. So I thought you were brilliant. I mean, I wasn't ticking this was right or this was wrong. I was just feeling and going through the motions, and I felt like you did a brilliant job.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And Danielle, I think I would agree with Heather. I thought you were a great leader and also kind and compassionate, and, you know, having her take a breath, you helped her get to when she was too overwhelmed on question three, you know, in that situation, you took her to a different situation so she could at least get there, which I thought was really good. So you struggled on one turnaround, but I thought you were very present with her. And actually, you, when you said, well, I don't know if we have time to do another turnaround, it was only 12:10. Like, you had plenty of time, and it only took you about 5 or 7 minutes to get to the deeper thought, which I thought was a good hit for you to do, you know, or good to try to uncover. And clearly, it's a deep vein for, you know, Heather right now because of what she's going through. So I thought that was very powerful. So good job.
Great. Thanks.
Yes. And you too will schedule a follow-up session. And that does show you the power of, like, even Danielle, what she said, hey, I felt safe and taken care of, and I was in my own world and still managing to
you were guiding her in that process. So I just want to give you some snaps for that.
Thanks, Heather. I hope you do feel better, and I know there was a reason this happened today for you, so I hope you're not going to be left feeling, you know, too frazzled.
Thanks. I am pretty frazzled, but I'll just have a good cry and move on.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things to remember is, 'cause you are being kind and compassionate, Danielle, and this is, and we can take it off of Heather, your clients may not feel better.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be, even when you were trying to say, well, I don't want her to go down the negative road, but there's value sometimes in when we can touch, wow, this is what I've been doing, and this is really painful, and I don't want to keep doing it. And sometimes that it's the grieving part and the disbelieving. So even when Heather was saying, don't try to make me feel better with me, I appreciate that. It's kind of like, this is what's going on for me right now. Did I say that? Yeah, that's okay, though. I thought it was good.
I will never listen to this call. This recording is off limits for me.
No, I think it's kind of like that is what's happening right now. Don't try to take it away from me. That sort of.
Yeah.
So I think all of us want our clients. Of course, we hold a space and want them to do so much more. And sometimes you may leave a call and they may be in pain. And hold them as able that they can take care of themselves. See if you can support them with the tools that you have. And they are in a growing process. And sometimes that hurts. Just like children, seeing how that hurts. So not that your clients are kids or anything like that. I didn't mean to imply that. Oops. Are you guys still there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I dropped the phone. Good. Okay, so today is our last call on this stuff. You'll continue to do the work and hopefully use these tools, but it's a main tool for the Martha Beck world. So I encourage you to keep practicing. And if you want to reach out to me personally, if you have any concerns, and I, Annalie, or Heather, if you do, I'm more than happy to have a conversation with you,
thank you,
on anything that's going on. So don't feel like just because I'm ending this piece that I'm not available to you. So reach out if you need to. And anything anyone wants to say just to close out Coach the Coach 2, your thought work session before we...
Bravo, you too. Oh.
Say that again, David.
Thank you, Chris. Thank
bravo,
you.
Bravo for Danielle,
bravo,
and
bravo.
Heather. Bravo to both of them.
Yes.
Great work.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yes.
And thank you, Chris.
Okay.
Marie.
Yeah,
and
thank
you, Chris and Marie, for this practicum.
You bet. And I know it's hard to get off the call when somebody's kind of open and tender, but know that we're here with you, Heather, and you could probably reach out even sooner if you need it today.
Certainly.
Just know that.
Anybody.
Yeah. Okay, you guys. Well, good luck going forward, and I think next week is attracting your ideal clients, so big hugs, and I would give you a hug if I was there in person.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you.